محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. To continue some things we were talking about last time about our speech and things we say, I always like to look at things at a medical level or to break down the parts. And actually right now in medicine, I don't know if people are aware of this, but they're looking at things at what's called nanotechnology, at a nano level, which is 1/1,000,000,000th of a meter, if we can even imagine that, which we can't, but they do know that the smaller they get into the cells, the smaller the dosage of whatever it is, the medicine or supplement or nutrient, the smaller it is, the more apt it is to get intracellular. So when we think about things like this, we should also reflect on the fact, as we always use as an analogy, on the spiritual level. And so things we say can be broken down by physics into a frequency. So, and what this will do, inshallah, if we realize this, is what we were talking about last time is the Sapir-Whorf theory, and the fact that the things we say have an effect on our life, in our world. So whatever we eject into the air with our speech, we're having an effect on ourselves, our bodies, at an intracellular level, and those around us. This is why, as Muslims, this is so crucial for us to be very, very careful about the things we say. And as the Prophet ﷺ told us, to either say something good or keep quiet. These simple things that were verities that the Prophet ﷺ spoke about in terms of guidance for us, if we just apply the simple things, for instance, that which is done consistently is better than that which is done in abundance but in spurts. These things, if we apply into our life, we need to do now more than ever, because we're living in a time which the Prophet ﷺ said we should just keep to our homes. Because one of the signs of the end of time for this prophetic advice about keeping secluded in our homes is happening right now, which is that people are extremely adamant about their opinions. If you hear people talking, overhear people talking, which is ubiquitous with the cell phones, whether they're in the airplanes or any commuter rides, people are constantly vociferous about their opinions. And so this is a major sign that the Prophet ﷺ alluded to, that in that case we should stay for the most part within our homes, because it's dangerous to mix with the people at that time. And obviously, alhamdulillah, when we have the suhbah of those in the same tariqah especially, then this becomes even more important and a balm to our hearts to meet with like-minded people, alhamdulillah. But anyway, so when we speak, and even this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says we can't even say uff to our parents. So these are the verities about speech. And also, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us the three things that Allah disliked are qila wa qal, kathratu su'al, and idatul mal. So he didn't like to hear speech that we're narrating what people are saying to each other. And if you think about this, in our times, those who study the hadith methodology, they know how intense the rigorous authentication process is. First, in terms of getting the hadith narrator, when Imam Bukhari, rahimahullah, compiled his hadith, and how stringent he was in putting them in his book, such that he didn't accept a hadith of a man who was baking a meal to his horse. He pretended like there was a meal in his hand for his horse. And so Imam Bukhari, rahimahullah, left that man because he said, this is a type of a lie, and so I can't take a hadith from this person. So these kinds of things. So in our time, we hardly have any attention, or we're not meticulous, in other words, when we narrate. When we're narrating, for instance, family members, when we're giving salam, you know, we should give it the exact message that we're conveying to other people, that say, oh, you know, if you see so-and-so, give salam. Because the ulama have said when we convey salam, it's like we're meeting that person. So it's a big amana to convey salam. So even that we're not up to par with. So imagine if we're narrating things and we're saying, oh, such and such a person said this, and we're off a little bit. If we're off a little bit and what that narration we just conveyed was a might have hurt. We don't even know. It might have hurt that person. We just conveyed a message and we don't know what the heart contains. We might have pulled some string in their heart that they were looking for from that other person. And so then it becomes, it goes into wal'a'adhu billah, namima even, or ghiba, and all kinds of things, trepidation that we have to be careful about in conveying messages. And so definitely we shouldn't be doing qila wa qal, that he said, she said. And when we do have to convey, we have to make sure, inshallah, that it's very, very precise and be punctilious about conveying messages. And so, kathratu su'al, not to ask too many questions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala disliked this. And as we know, the example of the Sahaba, radiallahu anhum, was that over the course of the prophecy, of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they only asked 13 questions, according to Qur'an al-Kareem. So, and of course, with their brilliance and wisdom, they would listen to the those who visited the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to get their questions answered. But they themselves would be hesitant to be so upfront and bold as to ask many questions. And then the last thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala disliked in this hadith was wasting our wealth. So the economy and our predicament in the world is... this is an indicator of what we should be doing. The opposite of what Bush exhorted everyone to do after 9/11. We should have been doing what FDR and what was encouraged during the Depression in this country, which is to save money. And so Muslims should be practicing all these things. We're seeing tremendous, tremendous downfall and huge societal tears in the fabric of society. And these are things that ulama have been warning about for decades. And unfortunately, in the West, they are learning this by mistakes. And so Muslims, we don't want to... The Sharia is there to protect us. The Sharia, one of the root words means a shell. So it's there to protect us. So as long as we're connected to the ulama and inshallah implementing what they're teaching us, then we'll be protected from these calamities and... societal rifts that are occurring, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our ummah. And then I wanted to expand on something I mentioned last week, which was about true love. I said there's no cure for true love. And so what we mean by that is...